New Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in Conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org. It is only through a change in human consciousness that the world will be transformed. The personal and the planetary are connected. As we expand our awareness of mind, body, psyche, and spirit, and bring that awareness actively into the world, so also will the world be changed. This is our quest as we explore new dimensions.
What practices might we choose in these wildly disruptive times to restore and awaken the human spirit and enrich our capacity to work well together to create more goodness and possibility? How might we create islands of sanity where the human spirit comes alive? How might we contribute our capacity to strengthen community? This can be joyful work as we explore going forward together with our guest, Dr. Margaret J. Wheatley. Margaret Wheatley is an internationally acclaimed writer, speaker, and teacher. She is co-founder and president emerita of the Berkana Institute, a charitable foundation that works with people around the world to strengthen communities. She is the author of many books, including Leadership in the New Science, Who Do We Choose to Be?, and Restoring Sanity, Practices to Awaken Generosity, Creativity, and Kindness in Ourselves and Our Organizations. So please join us for the next hour as we explore working together to restore sanity by awakening the human spirit with our guest, Margaret Wheatley. I'm speaking with Meg at her home by remote connection. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. I'll be your host. Welcome to New Dimensions. Meg, welcome.
Well, it's so good to be back, Justine. Such a different world it was. Hope and possibility.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, yes. We are in a brand new era, aren't we? It's something else. And before we go into what you call islands of sanity, I know that you suggest for us to really look at the landscape of where we are, to really grasp where we are first. And it's very difficult. We want to pull the covers up over our heads and not look at it. But so why is understanding our landscape important?
Well, how did it work for all of us pulling the covers over our head? I mean, really, how did our denial work? How did our hopefulness and just working ourselves almost to death work? So here we are. We're exhausted. We're cynical. We're sad. We're grief-stricken. We may be filled with rage. I certainly am. Feeling powerless for the first time. Watching good work just be swept away with no sense, no care for the harm being created. And I actually want to ramp that up and say what I'm seeing now is taking pleasure in the destruction that's going on. And I call that real evil. When you want to cause harm, and it's very sadistic, you take pleasure in the pain you're causing. So noticing that work, first I want us to notice denial doesn't work. Cynicism doesn't work. And we still want to contribute. So My book, Who Do We Choose to Be?, which is a really important question for all of us, has three subtitles. And the first subtitle is Encountering Reality. The second subtitle then is Claiming Our Leadership, which I would now say claiming what role we want to play in the midst of this horror. And the third subtitle then became the next book, Restoring Sanity. But my certainty is that we still want to contribute. We still want to lead meaningful lives. I don't like it when I go up to my bedroom and curl up and sob. Right. That's not who I want to be, but I have to let it out also. I want to honor that process. But when we face reality, it's only then we can discover meaningful work. So this is where I come in so strongly. We want to contribute. We want to do meaningful work. But in order to define what that work is, it has to be relevant to what's going on. So this is not a time to start, you know, vastly creative projects, even though a lot of people try and do that to deny reality now. We leap ahead into a more hopeful future, what Hannah Arendt described as hope, which is leaping over the present moment. And I want to hold us to the present moment because I know we want to contribute, and we can only contribute to what's needed, to where we're needed. And to figure out where am I needed, I have to know what's going on here.
And, you know, Meg, in doing that, how do we find trustworthy reports on where we are? Because there are a lot of misleading.
Yeah, I think that's the laziness. I really do. I hear it from people like, well, you can't believe anything, especially young people, which is really very upsetting. But I read a lot of newspapers and I read a lot of reports, and I put it together with my own sense making, which is, I know clearly and have written about now in three books, the pattern of collapse. So I see trends, I see dynamics that are very familiar to me. And then I also try and notice what's new. But if you want to be a person who makes a contribution, just don't go there with, well, who knows what's true. I can figure out what's true when I read from multiple sources. And we just have to decide to do that.
Yes, yes,
it can exactly. Make coherence.
Expand it. Expand that, what we're reading and what we're checking into, not just staying in our own silo of what's comfortable, right?
Well, that's for sure. I mean, I've recently decided to read the Wall Street Journal, and it takes some practice. But I'm just trying to be curious. Oh, this is really how they see the world. I want to get into their logic. I see their assumptions. I disagree with most of them. But it's a very interesting experience now. So what are they focused on? What are their assumptions? What are their descriptions of what's happening? It allows me to see my own descriptions and interpretations more clearly, which I'm standing by, because what I've based on is so clear in the history of civilizations. And now in the rise of Nazi Germany, there's a lot being put out that's terrifying, but really important to notice.
Right. And you say, like, we're in a pattern of collapse. And I'm reminded, it's only during this kind of chaotic collapse that change truly can happen. If things are going along really
well,
and everybody's happy and all, you know, we're just not questioning anything, nothing changes. But this is an opportunity. Do you agree with that?
No, I don't, actually.
Oh. Okay, tell me.
Unless you have lived in a country that's gone into collapse, like Venezuela, Zimbabwe, I'm not familiar with Venezuela, but I watch it very carefully. We don't know what collapse really is. It's the loss of services. It's the loss of infrastructure. And even though we want to see this capitalist, mercenary, merciless system go down, we have no idea. This is the system that has made our lives possible. So we're going to enter into a period. It's not just chaos, it's a complete loss of services. And then what do we do? And a lot of people want to use collapse. I was in an interview with Tammy Simons in June, where she just, very familiar to me, well, what can we do now to plan for the future after collapse?
Yeah.
No way of knowing who we will be, what we will have available, if we're even still alive, or where the pockets of humans will be. So all of this, that's why I keep quoting Hannah Arendt, one of the most brilliant philosophers and sociologists of the 20th century. And she just keeps saying that, well, she says a lot of things that are very relevant right now. But this issue of, instead of encountering reality so we can find good, meaningful work, it's going to be very different than what we've done, all of us have done in the past. But we need to get into the present moment and see what we can contribute, because nobody knows the future from here, nobody.
And I know that you suggest islands of sanity.
Yes.
And you say that we're not going into sanctuaries.
We are creating sanctuaries, but we're creating conscious communities where people are truly committed to one another so that we can still do life-affirming, deeply humane work. You know, and that's where we need to go. And we should spend a whole section on this.
Exactly. And we will, because you really say that isolation will not lead us where we need to go.
Well, it leads us to loneliness, depression, and suicide. It's happening all around the world now.
Exactly. So, and I would suggest that if we really are going into these islands of sanity and joining together, we need to know what we truly value.
Exactly.
We have to go deeply, not just what we value on a surface level, but we have to go deeply what is the ground we're standing on that we value.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, exactly. So I want to remind our listeners that I'm here with Meg Wheatley, and Who Do We Choose to Be is one of your book, Facing Reality, Claiming Leadership, Restoring Sanity, is definitely a book to delve into. And then her newest book, Restoring Sanity, Practices to Awaken Generosity, Creativity, and Kindness in Ourselves and Our Organizations. And if you want to know more about her work, you can go to her website, Margaret Wheatley, Wheatley, margaretwheatley.com. Or you can get there through the New Dimensions website, newdimensions.org. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Thank you.
I'm here with Meg Wheatley, Margaret Wheatley, but we call her Meg. And we're talking about Islands of Sanity, which are a gift of possibility and refuge. So let's talk about Islands of Sanity. What do you mean by that?
Well, the first thing that is quite ironic is that I made my fortune on being a systems thinker, wanting to bring in all possible variables and see how they interconnect and what's possible if you really find the root cause within a very complex system. Complexity theory, chaos theory were my bread and butter for quite a while, and I loved teaching that. And all of this was so that we could figure out how to change the world, if not save it. Although I was into the save the world for quite a while. But if we look at this world now, what has emerged and what emerges can never be changed. We have to start over. We have to work outside the system because the system is too powerful. It has what's called downward causation in that we could just look at our shopping behaviors now from the past with a system of online shopping that was created by companies now. I mean, I'm no longer getting anything from Amazon, and it's not that difficult, but I noticed the casualness with which I ordered things in the past, but that culture of online shopping, you know, now made possible by an overbearing, disgusting giant of a company, Amazon, with Jeff Bezos. There's no way to avoid that or to change it from within. I mean, I know right now there have been boycotts and I chose to withdraw from Amazon, but the whole culture of online shopping emerged from many factors, and it was certainly, you know, skyrocketed during the pandemic. If I want to change my behavior in any emergent system, I have to start over. I have to create independence by stepping outside the system. This is incredibly hard to do because mm-hmm. we're dependent on all of these companies and services, and boycotts don't really work that well. So the Island of Sanity is what is possible now. It's a stepping outside of these overbearing, barbaric, inhumane, and life-destroying systems, all of them, to create our own conscious community where we can work from what you talked about is so important, our values. We have to base whatever we're going to do on the values that we share. Now, from my perspective, and in the book Restoring Sanity, I say, we have to come together with a shared faith in people, in human capacity, in those qualities that are in all of us, but now they're just buried alive by busyness on our part, laziness, and then pure oppression from outside. And the development of, it's so obvious now, of just keeping people in fear so they will stay compliant. But an island is an intentional community. And my big question is, are we willing to do the work to really come together and realize we're not going to survive without one another? We're not going to change the larger system. If that isn't obvious to people now, it never will be. But what we can do is create both sanctuaries and places of possibility for people to reconnect with their basic human qualities, our compassion, our creativity, our kindness, our vision, our imagination. You can't do that now in any place unless, I mean, you can some companies are trying, but it's not going to last long because we're into total breakdown pretty soon. So the island's approach was, where can we live fully human lives? Where can we still depend on community and depend on one another? And that requires a big commitment from each of us. So it's an experiment. I'm not sure it's going to work, but so many psychics and guides and such are saying, get together, form community, work together, and be kind. And that's also my formula.
Right, right. You talk about complexity and complexity theory, and there's something so wonderful that you share in your book, Restoring Sanity, and that is there are five stages of solving complex problems. I love this. And the first stage is one of becoming good listeners. And I call this creating circles of stamina. I mean, it takes some effort to do that kind of listening that you're talking about. Can you describe it?
Well, five stages for solving complex problems is actually a very ancient Buddhist practice. It's called the four karmas, or the four actions. I added a fifth to it. But the first work is to come together as equals with respect. So you have to use a circle for that, as I'm sure many people have discovered. You don't do it at a town hall meeting. You don't do it at a rectangular table. It has to be a circle. That's the form of equality. And it also is the form that promotes good listening. And because this practice is focused on a specific problem or a big deal issue we have to face as a group, the first stage is just cooling everyone down and listening to one another for what their perspective is on the problem, not judging, not fighting, not competing. And we do that. It's actually two actions. It's good listening with the intention that I really want to hear you. You have something to say.
Right.
Rather than, okay, I'm going to listen to you, but you're full of crap.
Right, right. Yeah. And I'm going to put my own biases and my own filters of judgment on it and, you know, to really breathe into it and say, okay, what can I learn from this? What be curious.
Just, you know, curiosity would just solve all of our biases and judgments. And I teach this and I practice it. Like, let me look for something in you that I haven't seen before. People I work with, even my kids, who are now adults with their own families. But if we could just be curious instead of judgmental, even for a little bit, minute, it actually opens us to seeing, oh, there's a person here. And they have reason for their crazy thinking. Or I just want to be curious about people these days.
Yes, and that kind of leads us to the second one, which is being open to what is different, what is oppositional to what we are doing, to really gain a more great understanding.
Yes.
To really understand, like you said earlier, you said you read the Wall Street Journal. Okay. So to go in deeply and listening deeply to that perspective, and it's so what is the gift of that?
Well, it's called enrichment. Mm-hmm. And in this deadly, destructive climate where there should be no difference. Oh, my God. Oh my God. I mean, I just have to put in a news bulletin. I just read that, in the attempt to wipe out women and people of color, they have just removed some designation of who the dead veterans, the dead soldiers are in Arlington National Cemetery. They've just wiped them out. Now they can't dig them up. They'd probably like to. But it's like, well, we don't know who they were. They just contributed and gave the ultimate sacrifice. I mean, it's just horrific. So going back to positive, but that's my process these days, right? A little rage and then back to let's figure out what works here. So the enrichment is starting with the premise that everyone has important information in their differences. And so each of these processes have a geometric form. And this one is either a square or a rectangle, with the realization that we want to take sides here. We're not looking for collaboration, consensus, mushing it all together. I actually want to hear your total experience with this issue because you are different than me. And, we've done these practices forever in the before times. And understanding that if each person can speak truthfully, with their own experience being welcomed, actually necessary. And with our curiosity, now these practices go together. So we've already sat in circle, whether it's on Zoom or in person. Of course, it works much better in person, but we've sat in circle, we've listened to one another, we've got a feel for one another, and we're calm. We have our human frontal lobes turned back on, because we're not in fear or anxiety. And then we really create a whole physical structure to this practice. Like, you're sitting across from me because you and I have very different views on it. I want to hear yours, and then you're going to hear mine. This is like the old days for me, even talking about it now. It's called enrichment because it's only after we do this that we get a much richer understanding of all the issues, all the dynamics, all the past patterns of reaction that went into creating this issue.
You say, look for what's missing.
My favorite question to ask in groups is, after we felt good about what we just come up with and decided moving forward, I would just say, okay, so who else needs to be here? Whose voice did we not yet hear?
I'm speaking with Margaret Wheatley, and we're talking about Islands of Sanity. I'm Justine Willis-Toms. You're listening to New Dimensions.
Dimensions is brought to you by Friends of New Dimensions membership support and by Larson Publications, publisher of the book An Open Life, Joseph Campbell in conversation with Michael Toms. New Dimensions and our quarter-hour New Dimensions Cafe programs are now available worldwide as podcasts. You can find them at the iTunes Store and on many podcast sites and mobile apps. You can also find our podcasts and much more on our website, newdimensions.org.
I'm here with Margaret Wheatley, and we are just talking about what is missing. If we're trying to solve this complexity and looking for problems and building community relations.